with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am so thrilled today. I have in the studio with me three guests, and everybody knows I love to have people in the studio, and I'm so excited. And it's a group from Newport Richey Public Library, the Writers Group, and I am so happy to welcome them. First of all, the leader, and I think you're the president of the group. It's so wonderful again to have you here, Catherine Long, right?
Yes, that's right. Hi, Patsy. It's wonderful to be here again. We enjoy every time we come here.
Well, it is a joy always to have you. And then we have, and I'm holding up his book right now, Randall Shantz, and it is a book that everybody is going to enjoy. And
thank you.
So there. Hi, Randall.
Hey, how you doing?
You want to be called Randall or Randy?
Randy's fine.
Randy. Okay, mm-hmm. Randy. And then we've got a skit artist here. I love skits. And Henry Berner is here, and I'm holding this up too, and this is just fantastic. Hi, Henry.
Hi.
Okay, this is going to be fun. You're going to tell us all about wonderful skits, and I'm a great believer in doing skits. That's years and years of being in the Boy Scouts.
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, and I want to give a special hello to Andrea Hiotis, who is listening today. She is at Michelle's Chocolates up there in Newport Richey, and that is the home of the hot chocolate bomb. They are unbelievable, and if anybody ever gets up to that area, your area, they have to go to Michelle's, right?
That's right.
Okay. So, guys, you are all busy and keeping busy all the time.
Well, we try to stay busy, yes. But I just wanted to let you know also that I'm the secretary treasurer of the group. Our leader is Larry Serfazzo. He was here with us one time, but he wasn't able to come today. So I wanted to talk with you, Patsy, about the meet and greet event we're having on March the 4th. From 10:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. It will be held at the Newport Richey Public Library at 5939 Main Street in Newport Richey. And we have, so far, about 30 authors and illustrators who will be all in one place, so people can come and buy their books and talk to them about the writing process, and we'll have readings from people's books, and it'll just be a fun day.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to do. I'm such a strong believer in writers' groups, because you really, when you get together, you inspire each other.
That's exactly right. Everybody in our group talks about how we are one another's muses. We keep each other inspired and keep those words flowing.
So, now you have your book here. It's called Deadly Secrets, and it's called 1928 Cozy Mystery. I love this, because it's about, well, you have to tell us, but it's about somebody named Cherry. And when I was a young girl, I was a candy striper in a hospital, and I loved it. It was so much fun to work in a hospital, and there was a series of books called Cherry Ames at that time.
Yes, I read every single one. I was hooked on Cherry Ames books.
Well, that's so it's come right down through all these years, and you bring the stories to life. So tell us about this book, Deadly Secrets.
It was inspired by the Cherry Ames books. I used to sit up at night under my blankets with the flashlight reading the book way past lights out. And I was crazy about it. I wanted to be a nurse as a young girl, and I also was a candy striper at our hospital, a local hospital. But that just didn't turn out, and I ended up becoming a missionary instead. So you never know what direction life is going to take you. But I love those books so much, and I wanted to write a mystery story, and the girl, Cherry, in the Cherry Ames books inspired me, so I decided to borrow her name. Her name is really Charity in my book, but they call her Cherry. It's a nickname. And So she gets involved in this murder that has taken place on the campus of USC, where she is in a nurse's training, studying nursing in the 1920s. And I did a lot of research on things like, you know, the way they spoke and the way they dressed and all of that sort of thing to try to make it as realistic as possible. It was a fun book to write, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I think you did, because as I was reading it, I kept saying to myself, oh, well, you know, the one thing about the Cherry Ames books, they were inspirational to so many girls, and although you didn't become a nurse, you became a missionary, because the books gave us that feeling that we could get out there and do things, which was so important, because, you know, up to then, girls stayed on the farm, you know? But when we read those books, we realized, hey, we could go anywhere and do anything.
Well, you know, you're the only other person I think I've ever talked to who knew about Cherry Ames books. Everybody knows Nancy Drew.
I have all the Cherry Ames books.
But the Cherry, still?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. I'm so impressed. But those were great books. They were little mystery stories, just like the Nancy Drew stories, where she got involved in solving mysteries, and so much fun to read and very inspirational. You're right.
So again, you've been having fun, and I like that you put it in the 1928 era. I like that era.
Oh, me too. I had a lot of fun with that.
I thought that was very good, because it's just lots to play with there. Isn't it so much fun to be a writer when you can do all this research?
It is. And I actually got kind of off in that vein by watching the Miss Fisher mysteries, which I loved. So I thought, well, I want to put my book in that same era.
It is a wonderful series. And well, for me, you know, the wonderful thing with my mind is that when I see something as a, when I read, if I see it as a movie in my mind, I'm hooked, and I love that. I love that feeling.
And me too.
That's what happens. So I'm reading the book, and I say, "Oh my! I'm reading a book, but I've seen it all as a movie in my mind." So it's just wonderful. So, are you planning to do more along this vein?
Yeah, I have another one that is a mystery, sort of similar, only that one is set in 1815 England.
Ah!
So that it's a historical novel, but it's called Swift Secrets. So it's a different type of, a little bit different, you know, different type of era.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I love what you've done with this book. Nice mystery, nice story, and a character that I think, well, again, we need characters like her. We need Cherry Ames in our life. I think if you have it in the back of your mind, if you have somebody like that, somebody who wants a little bit of excitement and is clever, it's just a fun read.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun to write.
And, of course, as I said, working with the group and getting to work with them and talk to them about your project, that's part of the fun.
Oh, absolutely. The members of our group are so amazing. I mean, they pick up the smallest things that can improve your writing and make it more solid and more impactful. And gosh, I just get so much out of our group. We critique one another's writing, and as we read each week, and it has just done so much to help me learn to become a better writer.
Well, I think it's important that writers get together like this. And part of the problem sometimes that I find with writers just coming, you know, into this whole area of their life, it's a new part of their life. They've been doing something else, and now they want to write. I got a lot of interviews, you know, right after the NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month, and all the interviews I did afterwards, I would talk to the authors who had published books, and so many of them had started as NaNoWriMo writers, and they learned so much from that.
Yeah, we have a couple of people, members of our group, who do NaNoWriMo every year. I tried it one year, but I have a hard time making myself.
Well, I think, you know, it's not something I would do every year. I did it one year. My goddaughter, Kanisha, encouraged me to do it. She had done it quite a few times. And that's a lot to do 50,000 words in a month.
It is.
But the end result is when you have something, and then if you get together with a group of people to work with, and, you know, that just opens up so many possibilities to you. So, for example, Randy, you, we'll move the microphone. We have to move the microphone a little here. Tell us about Clearinghouse, because, again, you're part of the group.
Yeah, it's a great group.
How many people are in the group?
It fluctuates, but, I mean, there's usually about 8 or 12 there at any given time that are active.
Uh-huh. We have 72 members altogether.
But they move around. I know. Sometimes you're writing, and then you stop, and you come back, and you get back to it. So with you, Randy, how did you get involved with the group? And tell us about Clearinghouse, which is your book.
I was working at a flea market, and Jan, who's one of the members of our group, came by and saw a bunch of my books at the flea market and was looking at them, and he's like, did you write these? Because my picture's on the back. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I have no idea if they're any good or not, but I'll buy them. So he bought some. Mercy sale, pity sale. And and then a couple of weeks later, he came by and he's like, you should check out our group. It's a pretty good group. I think you'd like it. And so apparently he read them, I guess.
And so you joined. Mm-hmm. And now your particular interest is sci-fi.
Yeah, I mostly write science fiction.
And, of course, part of that comes from your background.
Yeah, my dad was a NASA engineer. He worked at Cape Kennedy during the height of the Apollo and Skylab programs. And so I grew up in Cocoa Beach. Well, I spent a lot of my childhood in Cocoa Beach. And so, yeah, space is just kind of the sea we swam in when I was a kid.
So did you get to meet a lot of the astronauts?
I don't know. I was pretty young. I honestly don't know. I mean, they would have things on the Cape that would be like pancake breakfasts and stuff like that for the families of the people that were working there and stuff. And sometimes there were astronauts there, and sometimes there weren't. And I have absolutely no idea if I did or not. I asked my dad a couple times. He's like, I don't remember. I think we had Alan Shepard there once, but I don't remember if you were there at that time. You know, so I don't know. I might have.
So you were a little. I did get to work with one of the Apollo astronauts, Walt Cunningham.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wrote the script for
his
book.
He just passed away. Yeah.
Yes, he just passed away. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I wrote the script for his book, All American Boys.
He was the tallest of the Apollo astronauts.
Well, not that tall. you know, they weren't very tall.
No, he was 6'1", and so you couldn't be above 6 feet.
They had to fit into the capsule.
Yeah, he spent the whole night before his final test to see whether he was going to get approved or not, jumping up and down to compress his spine. So he came in just at 6 feet, although he's normally 6'1". So he cheated.
So that interest there in being in the space era sort of piqued your interest?
Yeah, I was a NASA brat.
Yeah, a NASA brat. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this book.
Okay.
When I started it, I thought, oh, this is, I love this start. I thought it was so funny.
Thank you. Well, it's a collection of short stories. The title comes from, if you write short stories or really anything, you will inevitably have projects that you just kind of lose steam in halfway through, or you kind of hit a point where you're not sure where to go with it, or some connection isn't fitting. So you just end up with a drawer full of incomplete stories that are usually pretty good, but you just never got back to them. So I decided to take a bunch of those and dig them out. And the ones that were good, you know, with the hindsight of anywhere from 1 to 10 years, I was able to figure out how to complete them. And then I decided that I should take all of these things and stick them in one volume and call it Clearinghouse, because I was clearing out my drawer.
Okay. So when you're writing, do you get this absolute thrill of when you see your words on paper that I've talked here about?
Yeah.
Because it gets so thrilling when you're you're writing and suddenly you put the words down and you look at them again and you say, my goodness, I wrote that.
Yeah.
And it comes out of my head.
Yeah, you've got this thing that was just floating around in your head and all of a sudden it's got physical form. It's really amazing the first couple of times you do it.
Well, you know, I'm just going to tell Big Ed in the control room, Big Ed, get ready and pull up Bria Burton's book buzz for, I think, the February one. I'm going to play that in a minute in honor of Randy.
No.
And we can talk about more sci-fi because we have here on Joy on Paper, as for those of you know, my listeners and for you guys, we do book buzzes where we review a book and we... whether it's a mystery, or I will have Rita Moreau does the mysteries, so I will have her do one for you. And Randy, Bria Burton, who is a sci-fi author,
mm-hmm.
does them for sci-fi
oh.
books, so I will have her do one for you.
Oh, thank you. Wow,
because
gosh.
It's fun. And let's listen to this one that we have, and this is Bria Burton doing a sci-fi book buzz.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 release from a best-selling author, Faded Blades by Ilona Andrews. The USA Today and Wall Street Journal best-selling novella is available in print, ebook, and audiobook with stellar narration by Aaron Shedlock. Let's download the book buzz. In a distant galaxy, sworn enemies Matthias Baenas and Ramona Adler are the heads of their respective kinsmen families, both genetically enhanced Sakare, which means they're each as lethal as their ancestors, who feuded to the point of near annihilation over a century prior. The conflict trickled into the present, a kind of Cold War space race between the ruling families on planet Rada, all vying to adapt a coveted tech related to the bioengineered swords and shields that emerge from beneath a Sakare's skin. A data breach in both families leads to their unlikely alliance and sends Ramona and Matthias on a secret quest to recover what was stolen. If they can defeat their mutual enemies, can anything stop them from taking out each other? This sizzling, page-turning science fiction romance with overtones of Romeo and Juliet fires off like a rocket and leaves the reader breathless. Author Ilona Andrews is the pseudonym for dynamic duo Ilona and Gordon, who have been married for almost 3 decades and have teamed up as writers for nearly 2 decades, co-authoring several best-selling novel series, including the #1 New York Times best-selling Kate Daniels series. They currently reside in Texas with their 2 children and many dogs and cats. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Ah, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? And that's what Bria does. She does these wonderful little promos for authors who write sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have her do one for you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Okay. That'll be fun. She will enjoy that. And the wonderful thing is that we like to keep promoting authors. We'll play these long time after we, you know, interview an author. We'll play them. Well, we sometimes play them before we interview the author. Just get people buying the books, because that's one of the important things. And you have so much fun writing, but then you have to go out there and promote it.
That is the hard part. I've never had any success with that. I'm terrible at self-promotion.
Well, that is one of the things that writers are really finding difficult in this day and age. It's not the same as it was years ago.
No, and I talked to Harlan Ellison once years and years and years ago. We were friends for a while. And, you know, I was like, can you give me any clue how to get published? And he's like, honestly, no. You know, I came in at a time when it was very easy to do, and the industry has changed, and it's changed even more since ebooks and things like that came out. And he's like, if I were starting now, I wouldn't know how to do it.
So, it's true. It's very true. It's much, you know, Mary Higgins Clark was on the program many times, and I loved her, and she was just wonderful, and she told me, It was so wonderful in the old days when she would come out with a book, because they'd send her on a tour. The publisher would send her on a tour, mm-hmm. and it would be first class. And in those days, it was always Pan Am or TWA, you know, where you would get really, you know, when you were in first class in those planes, you got first class service, and they would send along an assistant, usually a young guy who was, you know, in the publishing house, and he would go along and then take care of all the travel things, all luggage and going, getting to the hotel and all of that, and getting to the place wherever she was going for the signings. Mm-hmm. And that did, by the end, you know, she said it was crazy. She wouldn't do any tours because they wouldn't do that kind of, they wouldn't give you that kind of, even for her. And,
yeah.
And she'd have a million pre-sales before the book was even released.
Oh.
But publishers just stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the big publishers are mostly on their own. You know, that they might reimburse them for the travel, but they say, you know, do it. So that's one of the things that I know it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're writing, the thing is, people write even if they're not selling big, because there's a fun of the writing.
There is. It's also kind of solitary and focused. So sometimes it just pulls you out of the rest of your life while you're doing it. When you get the holy fire in you, they're like, I have to get this down on paper. And then when you do so much of it, and it's not selling or whatever, that, you know, that can be or cannot be discouraging. It just kind of depends on the motivations of the individual person. But everybody hits this point where they're like, why am I doing this? There's not a visible material reward other than my own edification, which is really important and so on. But yeah, part of the reason that I wrote this one, part of the reason that I finished up all those old lingering stories was because I was going through this phase where I was actually pretty despondent about my complete lack of success. And I didn't want to leave the few fans I've got hanging waiting for another book. So I wrote this one, and there's a little frame story that interconnects some of them in there, which is about pretty clearly me just debating whether or not they should keep on doing it. And you know, just because I wanted to get across the idea of not only of how cool it is to write stuff, but also how sometimes you can feel like you're banging your head against a wall.
Yeah, I know. I understand it. And it's, you know, it is difficult, but one of the things that I have had so many authors here who have banged their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And bang their heads and bang their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my guest the other day was Stacy Lee. Her book was rejected by 29 publishers.
Wow.
Completely rejected. I mean, big time rejections.
Mm-hmm.
She sent it, she had found an agent who loved the story and said,
mm-hmm.
I would love to find somebody who would take this book. And the agent said, I don't think, you know, it's going to be easy. And so they started sending it out month after month, really. It was a long process.
Mm-hmm.
29 complete, absolute rejections by publishers who said, no way.
Yeah, that's about 11 more than I would have been able to handle.
Well, and that's what, you know, she felt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that 30th one took her book. She got a starred review from Publishers Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, she's been on a run.
That's fantastic.
And she was on the program. And her name is Stacy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a delightful book. It's a middle grade book. A fantasy, wonderful, wonderful story called Winston Chu and the Whimsies. But she didn't give up. That's a lot of rejections. 29 major.
That
I
is,
mean,
yeah.
Almost every publisher left in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
They even sent it off to England, and that's what happens. You never know.
Yeah. Also, you know, the more esoteric that your writing is, the harder it can be for a publisher to find a niche for it and pick it up. Like one guy I was talking to, he's like, "You know, I like your stories, but they're strange." And like, well, good strange or bad strange? And he said, "I think they're good strange, but you're basically manufacturing left-handed doorknob polishers here, and there's just really not a market for that."
Well, you see, that's what they had told. Yeah. Actually, they told Stacy. They're not publishable. Mm-hmm. They're not like anything else. Not, you know, just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, suddenly things change. You never know.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, we're going to have some commercials, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk about some skits, and we're still going to talk more about your books.